Everybody. Would you turn to the 143rd Psalm? I mean 43rd. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for who you are. How we thank you for the complete salvation that is in your Son. Lord, what a blessed grace that you would cause us to know you. Lord, we ask that you would cause, by your grace, your gospel to be preached in the power of your Spirit. We pray that you'd speak to each heart here according to your will. Lord, we ask for the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing from sin, and how we thank you for the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing from sin. Lord, we ask for grace to love you more, to see more of your beauty. We ask that we might be enabled to rest in thy Son. Now, speak for Christ's sake. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. Those that are going through trial, we pray for your blessing on them. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. As is usual, we're going to look at these psalms in the light of first the word of Christ, and only going to spend a few minutes on that because I want to then look at it as the word of David. But first, the word of Christ in verse 43, who is the only one who could unequivocally say this? Judge me, O God. Judge me, O God. There's only one who can say that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Judge me, O God. What a statement. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Now, what a description of man. Ungodly, unmerciful, deceitful, and unjust. Verse 2, for thou art the God of my strength. This is his complete trust in his Father. Thou art the God of my strength. The strength I have comes from my God. That's the words of God the Son. Why dost thou cast me off? And I have no doubt that that's the same thing as why have you forsaken me? He was cast off and he was forsaken in his experience. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And I think of the Lord mourning. That's just an incredible thought. But remember when he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And how he mourned as he was cast off by his father as the sinner substitute. Oh, verse 3, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. I love that scripture. Yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And this is what our Lord is praying for. Then, verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God. Now, what's an altar for? Sacrifice. Then will I go to the altar of God. And look what he says after speaking of the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy he got of glorifying his Father on the altar. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And here is his faith. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. When he was totally cut off and saw nothing, he still hoped in God. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. How clearly we can see these as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, let's consider these as the words of David. Judge me, O God. This is David speaking. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Now, what I think is almost amazing is every commentator I read on this passage of Scripture said David is not talking in generalities. He's talking about a specific incident. He says, judge me about that. I'm innocent there. Judge me on that. Make my light to shine forth. Now, really? Didn't David say in Psalm 43:2, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. David was not saying, in this case, let me be judged. No. I don't care what it is, if it has anything to do with me or you, it's bad. In and of itself, it's bad. It's sinful. Somebody says, well, my motive was right. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Not one action. Not one action. Not one desire. Not one thought. Can I say, judge me, oh God. I'm okay here. No, what David is speaking of is that of a justified sinner. Now, if you believe justification, if you believe that what Christ did actually justified you, and don't ever forget what justification means. If I'm justified, that means I don't have any sin. That means I'm sinless before God. That means I stand without guilt before God. Now, if you believe that what Christ did justified you, you know what you can say? You can say, judge me, O God. Judge me. You know that the righteousness of Christ will stand before God's judgment without guilt. And then he goes on to say, plead my cause. Now, you see, we have a lawyer an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what happens with every one of his clients? They're found out to be not guilty. What a lawyer. He's never lost a case. And all of his clients, every single one of them without exception, are made to be not guilty. Don't you want him pleading your cause? Now, he is speaking in light of the gospel. Judge me and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Now, the marginal reading in my margin says against an unmerciful nation. Unmerciful. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me from me, the deceitful and the unjust man. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me from the deceiver. Deliver me. But I know who my biggest enemy is. And we're going to see this from verse 2. 4. Thou art the God of my strength. Don't you know in your own experience that you do not have any strength? The only way you can believe is as he causes you to, by his strength. The only way you can love is as he causes you to. The only way you can persevere in the faith is as he causes you to. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can believe, I can, through Christ which strengtheneth me. But the Lord also said, without me, you can do, anybody know the next word? Nothing. He didn't say hardly anything. He said nothing. And so truly, God is the strength of every believer. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? And David's talking about how he felt. Have you ever felt cast off by God? Cast off. That's how David felt, cast off. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now, he's talking about mourning over sin. Now, this is a blessed thing to be enabled to mourn over sin. It's the second beatitude. Blessed are they that mourn. And how sin oppresses the believer. It's his deadly enemy. It oppresses the believer. It's never okay, is it? It's never okay. It's always a reason to mourn your own personal sin. It's not something you're indifferent about. It's not something you're okay with. Mourning like the death of a loved one. That's the reason you mourn is because there's nothing you can do to make it better. When you mourn over the death of a loved one, you can't bring it back, can you? And this is mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. Notice he didn't say my enemies, but he said the enemy. The enemy. He wasn't talking about Ahithophel. He wasn't talking about Absalom. He wasn't talking about his many enemies. Who is the enemy? Me. Me. The oppression of the enemy. My old man, my old nature, my sin. Now, Satan is the enemy. I wouldn't discredit that in any way. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's an enemy, a great enemy. And I don't want to have anything to do with him. I'm like, I love the way the angel said, the Lord rebuke you. When I hear preachers say, I rebuke the devil, and you know, oh gosh, I think you're under his complete control when you say something like that. How foolish. But him being deadly enemy, I'm looking to the Lord to take care, protect me from him, but I am my own worst enemy. My sin. And he goes mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. Now look what he prays for in verse 3. He says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and unto thy tabernacles. Now, what is David praying for? First of all, light and truth. Light and truth. The light of the gospel. And I love where the Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I'm the light of the world. And he is speaking of that in reference to that woman who was taken in adultery in the very act. There was no doubt about the guilt of this woman. And yet he said to that woman, Woman, where are those thine accusers? They're not there. Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, I need continual light as to the fact that there's nothing for me to be condemned for because of what Christ did for me. I need to have that placard before my face at all times that in Christ I am without guilt. Let thy light be before me. Let thy truth. I love the way the Lord said, I am the truth. I think it's always interesting that there are athletes who like to call themselves the truth. I've seen that with several athletes. I'm the truth. No. If you say I'm the truth, your own conscience would condemn you immediately. But the Lord is the truth. He's the truth concerning the true character of God. He's the truth concerning my true character. And he is the truth concerning how God can save me by his grace through what Christ did. Now notice, he says two things about light and truth. Let them lead me. I don't want to be led by myself to you. I don't want to fall prey to my own inclinations and my own understanding. Let thy light and thy truth lead me. Please lead me. Don't leave me to myself. The worst thing that could happen to me is for me to have to lead myself. I'm sure to go off into the ditch. Let them lead me. Can you pray that prayer right now? Lord, let your light and your truth lead me. Lead me not to my own understanding. And then he says, not only let them lead me, but let them bring me. I want to be brought, don't you? Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Let them carry me to the place where I need to be, thy holy hill and thy tabernacles, and this is another way of saying, let me be found in Christ. I want to be in your holy hill. Who's the only one there? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. But you know who else is there? Everybody in here. And I want to be brought to that place, his tabernacles, the tabernacles. He is the tabernacle. And this is just another way of saying, let me be found in Christ. So that all you see is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the continual desire of every believer. Let me be found in Christ. I don't want to be found anywhere else. Verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God. Now what's the altar for? Sacrifice. That's all it's for. That's talking about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you lead me and when you bring me, you know where I'm going? The altar. The altar of sacrifice. That's talking about the work of Christ. And you know that even in heaven, when we don't have any sin, who are we going to be worshiping? And in what light will we be worshiping? The Lamb slain. And I don't understand this, But I do know this. In heaven, even when we don't have any consciousness of sin, we'll know the only reason we are there is because of the Lamb slain. And we're going to be in that choir, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And even now, the altar. Now, here, I thought about this glorious altar. That, you know, Christ, one of the glorious things about Christ, he's the priest who brings himself as the sacrifice on the altar of his own body. He is our altar. He's everything in our salvation. But what was brought to my mind when I was thinking about this is when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filling the temple, and he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And what happened next? A seraphim brought a coal from the altar. Don't miss that. He brought a coal from the altar. The altar sacrifice. Now this altar is so significant. When Nadab and Abihu decided they could light the incense with some fire other than the fire off the altar, what happened? Fire came down from heaven and devoured them. They dared to approach God in some other way than the blood of Christ. And that's what took place. And I think it's so awesome the way Moses said, "Don't cry." He said this to Aaron. He said, "Don't cry." Well, he just saw his two sons consumed with fire. "Don't cry." They had it coming. He said, I will be glorified in them that approach me. And the only way I can approach God and glorify God is through the altar, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm going to approach your altar." Now, those seraphims that came with that coal with tongs from off the altar and touched his lips said, "Your iniquity is pardoned. Your sin is purged." Now, that's what the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ brings to us. "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." Now, it is only when we go to the altar that God becomes our exceeding joy. You see, sin's taken care of. I stand before God without guilt, and He is my exceeding joy. "Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." Now, I love to think of that as Christ playing the harp. And it is. But wouldn't you have loved to heard David play the harp? I mean, the way his use of this musical instrument to glorify his Father. On the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The promise of the gospel. Now David repeats what he'd said in Psalm 42. He said this twice in Psalm 42. And there are some people have actually said that Psalm 42 and 43 are actually part of the same psalm. I don't believe that. I mean, David repeats himself all the time, but what a repetition. Let's look at this repetition. Verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Now, once again, David is speaking to himself. And brought this out last week, and it's worthy of being heard again. David's not listening to himself, he's speaking to himself. If you listen to yourself, it's always going to bring you down. It's always going to be contrary to the gospel. The things that arise out of our hearts, they're always wrong. And David is not giving himself the chance at this time, by the grace of chance. That's not a good word to ever use. But David is seeking to not listen to himself, but to speak to himself. Why are you cast down? Why are you cast down? Every look within will cast you down. Every look. I remember Henry Mahan used to say this, and I always thought this was so good. If you look to yourself, you'll be discouraged. You look to others, you'll be disappointed. You look to Christ, everything's great. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You're looking to yourself. Why are you filled with turmoil from within? Hope thou in God. Now, he's talking about the God of the Bible. It's not talking about some kind of vague idea of some deity out there. It's talking about the living God. The God of absolute control. The God in whose hand you are. The God who's glorious. The God who's too wise to err. Too kind to be cruel. Who knows everything. And the God who has made you accepted in the Beloved by what He did. Hope in God. That's good counsel, isn't it? Hope in God. You know, there's a reason to always hope in God and be encouraged in God. He's glorious. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him. In this life and throughout eternity, I shall yet praise Him. Isn't that what you want to do? I'm not talking about showing everybody else how you're praying. You know, praise the Lord. A lot of times when people say that, it irritates me. Because I know, not when it's real. I always love it when it's real. But religious people, you know, they always use the term, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I just think, you know, I don't want to listen to you trying to convince me of your piety and your religiosity. But every believer desires to praise the Lord from their heart. I shall yet praise Him. Have you ever praised Him as He ought to be praised? No. Even your praise and my praise falls far short, infinitely short of what it ought to be. But we know because of God, I shall yet praise Him. In that heavenly choir, I think he's really talking about heaven, because our praise always falls short here. Every time I've ever tried to praise Him, that's not enough. That's not real enough. That's not sincere enough. It always falls short. Everything that has anything, as long as I'm involved, it's always going to fall short. And I think when he's talking about yet, he's talking about that time in that great heavenly choir when he will praise Him as he ought to be praised. Don't you look forward to doing that? To praising Him as He ought to be praised. And look what he says last. I shall yet praise Him who is the health, the salvation. That's the word, the salvation. He is the salvation of my countenance and my God. Now, what is better than having God as your God? Let me remind you, if God be for us, who can be against us? O God, my God.